Now, this morning I'd like to preach to you about the voice of the devil. The voice of the devil. And I don't recommend that you make a hobby out of studying the devil. You're supposed to study about the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, on the other hand, you have to deal with the devil every day of your life. And I think it's rather foolish to be dealing with somebody and not know anything about him. You ought to know something about the devil. Amen? You ought to know something about what he tries to do. The devil is very good at hoodwinking Christians into thinking a lot of things about him that aren't true whatsoever. A lot of Christians never stop to think. They think the devil is kind of like God, that he's omnipresent, he's every place, but the devil is not everywhere. Amen. He has a very elaborate network of demons that handle things for him, but he makes you think that he's all around, all the time, all the place. He's not. Amen. He also tries to make you think that he's as smart as God is, and he's not as smart as God is, and there's some things in the Bible that very plainly show the devil's kind of dumb in some areas. I'll give you an example. Over in Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the people of Thessalonica, and he says, "Now, I wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered me." And you start to think about that thing. The devil kicked himself around the block 10 times for that, because if Paul had gone there and talked to him in person, you wouldn't have the book of 1 Thessalonians, but Satan hindered him, and he wrote him a letter, and now you got it in your Bible, amen? So the devil, that's right, brother. The devil is not really all as smart as he wants you to think he is. As a matter of fact, he's rather insane, because he's trying to fight against the Lord God of heaven. And if you follow him, you're right along with him. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, you all know the account that the serpent, who was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made, said unto the woman, "Yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And then it goes on down at her reaction to the thing, and how she took that fruit and she ate of it, and later on gave it to her husband, and plunged the entire human race into darkness. And that was because of a lie that the devil told. Now, the first time the devil speaks in the Bible is right here. And the second time the devil speaks in the Bible is in Job chapter 1. And the third time the devil speaks in the Bible is in Luke, the temptation of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at all three of those places this morning. Now, the first thing that the devil does when he speaks, the first thing he does is slanders God to man. He slanders God to man. In other words, he says to Adam and Eve, he said, "God is lying to you. He's not good like you believe he is." And he tells lies about God to people on this planet. And he's been doing that ever since. See, he come to Eve and he says, "Listen, God said that he was going to be good to you and take care of you and that he would protect you. But he's lying to you. He's not as good as he said he is. He doesn't want you to have the knowledge that he has, because if you eat this thing, you'll be as smart as God is, and you'll be as intelligent as God is, and you'll know good from evil, and then there won't be any way for him to control you. And God does not want that to happen. That's why he prohibited you from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." He said, now, the devil wants us to think that God is not good. That's what he wants you to think. He wants you to think that God is a liar and that his promises are faulty and that he won't make good on what he says. God is in the business of slandering, Satan is in the business of slandering God to man. Okay? For instance, he does it to you all the time. When you get near the end of the month, or I should say when you get near the end of the money and the month is running out, amen? The devil comes along and says, "See, God said he would supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and you're running out of money, and you're running out of time, and God is a liar." And you think, man, maybe he's telling the truth. Now, of course, you don't think it when you're in church, because you've got all these Christians around, see?
Amen?
Amen? That's right. But when you're at home by yourself, you might think that. And you might think, he promised he was going to take care of me, and what's going on? And, well, you all look like you haven't been undernourished here. He's taking care of you, amen?
Yeah.
But that's what he does. He slanders your God. He says your God isn't good. He says your God won't help you. Your God isn't going to take care of you. He slanders the Word of God. He says the promises aren't good. For instance, The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Does it say that?
Amen.
So you acknowledge him, and you go through your day, and you're pretty confused, and you say, Lord, I don't believe it. The promise isn't true. The devil telling the truth. You're a liar. Now, of course, you wouldn't say it like that. But your actions are often speak louder than your words.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, you wouldn't come out and call God a liar, but you say, now, Lord, you know, you're going to come through here. And I often looked in the New Testament at the disciples, and I thought, the disciples were the biggest bunch of idiots that ever walked the face of the earth. I mean, take the disciples. Jesus goes out there and he feeds 5,000 people with a little bag of food there. And then just a couple chapters later, they run out of food and they say, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? Amen? That's right. And he said they forgot about the loaves and the fishes. Kind of forgetful. And we wonder, is the Lord going to come through? Is the Lord going to come through? Some of you are praying for things, praying for a job, praying for a home or a house, or praying for some loved one that's sick. And you wonder, is God going to make good on his promises? And I want to tell you something. God always makes good on his promises. Always makes good on his promises. But you have to hear that from time to time. Because the devil is going to lie to you and lie to you and lie to you and lie to you and lie to you about your God. And he's not going to stop. You know, there's some things in this world that are blatantly wrong and untrue, and yet if you hear them long enough, you'll start to think that they're true. And you're going to have the devil whispering in your ears 48 hours a day about your God. He's going to talk to you like that. And you've got to get in the Word of God and be strong and not listen to the voice of the devil. Now, the Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And we're supposed to listen to the voice of God. But you know, some of God's people hear the voice of the devil more readily than they hear the voice of God. Now, after having dealt with Christians for 13 years, I know that people inside, they hurt. And people inside, they wonder. And in their heart of hearts, they come to church, but they say, God, I've got a need, and I need some help. And people of all different ages, from young people all the way on up through, in different stages of life, God tests us and tries us and wants to see if our faith is strong and going to come forth out of the fire like gold. And the devil says, you're not going to make it. You know what the devil does? The devil lies to you and says, God don't love you. How many, the devil ever said that to you? God doesn't love you. He said, now God loves these other Christians in this church, but he don't love you because you're nothing. Because you're a nobody, you're ugly. And so you got bad breath, and you're not very smart, haven't got a good education, so God just kind of puts up with you. He don't really love you. And the devil lied to you like that. In spite of the fact that the Word of God says that God's thoughts about you are so numerous that you can't even count them. That's what it says. And so he slandered you continuously, all the time, all the time. And he fell for it. Now, you think about that. You say, well, you know, I got all this experience behind me. I'm smarter than Eve. Wait a second. Eve had direct fellowship with God. He walked in the garden with her. Eve had never sinned before, had no experience with sin. Eve had a good husband. Matter of fact, he was the only man in the world for her, amen? Eve had a good environment. You know, the sociologists say, well, if we could just clean up the environment, everything would be all right. No, sir, buddy. They had the perfect environment. They had the perfect religion. Everything was perfect, perfect, perfect. And yet the devil came in there and got a hold of Eve and twisted her mind and messed everything up. It doesn't take a whole lot of sin to mess everything up. You know that? It doesn't take a whole lot. And so the devil's doing that all the time. He just lie and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie until you get to the point where you start listening to him. And you got to put on that armor of God, brother and sister. He says, I'm not going to listen to you, devil. I'm going to have to listen to you. It don't seem like God's coming through on his promise, but I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to listen to God. Now, these issues where the rubber meets the road. Like, well, we get in here and rant and rave about how much we believe the Word of God and And I want to tell you something. Not everybody that waves a King James Bible and says, I believe the Word of God, is a Bible believer.
Right.
A Bible believer is someone, when he gets inside the thing and reads it, puts his faith and trust in it and leans on it and rests on it. A Bible believer isn't somebody who says, well, yeah, I believe every word in the book. A Bible believer is somebody who sits down on the words in the book and stands on the words in the book and sleeps on the words in the book and eats on the words of the book. That's a Bible believer. And I dare say, if we were to thin out the ranks according to that definition of a Bible believer, the population might be a little scarcer, amen? Job. I don't know when I'm supposed to be finished here. Does anybody know that? Just whenever I get done? All right. Book of Job. Comes right after Esther. And in the book of Job, you have this situation. Starting at verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them, came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. He's up to no good, I'll tell you that right now, amen? If the devil's walking around in the earth, he's up to something. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now, if you were preaching that to a hillbilly, you'd just chew it up and spit it out, amen? He escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, and the second time Satan speaks in the Bible, he says this, doth Job fear God for naught? You know what he's doing? He's slandering man to God. First he slanders God to man. He says, God ain't no good. And then he comes and he says, Job ain't no good. You know, he says, the only reason that Job serves you is because you treat him so well. That's what he says. That's slander. That's slander. But the Lord took him up on the challenge. Because it might be true that there's some of you out there that just serve God because things are going well. You know what I mean? I mean, for most of us, Watts, you know what that is, right?
Yeah.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestants, that's what I am.
Amen.
But for most of us middle-class Americans, things go pretty decent. I mean, aside from being sick and all the troubles that fall, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, you're not living in Bangladesh someplace with the flood covering the whole country and 30 million people starving to death and disease and all kind of bug-laden troubles and stuff. You haven't got that going on.
Amen.
You got it pretty decent.
Amen.
Got it pretty decent. And so the devil's going to come along and say to God, he says, hey, look at that fellow down there in First Bible Baptist. The Lord says he's doing pretty good. And the devil says, yeah, he's doing all right, but you treat him pretty nice.
Amen.
And the Lord says, yeah, I do. I treat my children pretty nice. I try to take care of them. I said I was going to take care of them. And the devil says, well, I'll tell you what, you just give him a little bit of a hard time and he'll check out. And the Lord says, all right, we'll give it a shot. And you know where some of your tests and your trials come from? Your trials and tests come from the fact that God wants to show the devil that Christians love him because they want to.
Amen.
That's why. I'll admit freely that the Lord treats me pretty good. I mean, he treats me real nice. All right? I got the best wife in the world. My kids aren't rebels, at least yet, amen. And I've always had enough to eat, always had enough clothes to put on, always had an automobile to get around with, sometimes too. And the Lord treats me pretty good. As far as persecution, I haven't gone through any persecution. I haven't suffered any poverty. I haven't suffered hardly much anything. The Lord's been good to me. I lived in Chicago, you could get the best food of any place in the country anytime you wanted it. Ask Bruce, amen? So one of these days, maybe, God will say, hey, Satan, you check out Riley down there? And I don't know if I qualify for that kind of stuff. I hope not, really. But and then I'm going to say, well, you just treat him so good. It's no wonder that he says he loves you. Stick him in the hothouse for a while, see what happens. And see what the Lord, the devil does? He comes around, he finds God's people, and he slanders man to God. says, you know, in other words, you go treat him good. Now, I want to tell you something. You got a lot of servants of the devil out there. And they serve Satan willingly. They serve him willingly. But they serve him willingly at the beginning and then later out of fear. You know, I don't serve God because I'm afraid of him.
Amen.
I fear him because he's God, but I don't serve him because I'm afraid of him.
Amen.
Say, preacher, why do you serve God? Because I have never had anybody love me like God loves me.
Amen.
And I'll serve anybody that loves me as much as God loves me.
Amen?
Amen. He puts his arms around me and says, oh, Carol, man, I love you. And I just get this bad hug from God. That's why I serve him. Now, some of you may serve him because you're afraid of him. That's why the devil's children serve the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
I tell you what. They don't serve him because they love him. They serve him because in the beginning he dishes out a lot of nice stuff. Now, if you just serve me, I'll give you a nice house and a nice car and plenty of money. Now, you just peddle dope on the streets and you'll have everything you want, all the women you want, all the booze you want, all the fun you want. And the devil's children go out there and say, yeah, it's for me. And later on, they find out they're in bondage. The Lord comes down and say, hey, why are you serving the devil? It says, I'm serving because I ain't got nothing else I can do. You get in a trap. You know something? When you get way up there in this world, and you find out that the one who's behind the whole thing is the devil, you're stuck, buddy. You're stuck. I mean, if you decide to walk out on the devil, buddy, the whole thing collapses out from underneath you, and you're in the poorhouse. Bad. You know what happens if everything collapses out from under me? I'm in the arms of God.
Amen.
Just like that. I mean, right smack in his arms. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. He admits God's goodness, but he says that it's because Job was faithful. Was Job faithful all the time? Well, he stayed pretty faithful, but he got kind of raspy in there after a while. Cursed be the day it was said a man child was born in the world. That doesn't sound like some happy, smiling cushion. Amen? Amen? Oh. Suppose I got up and gave a testimony in church like that. You know, amen? Well, I wish that tomorrow was here and yesterday was here. I'm sick of this life. I've had it. I'll tell you what. I mean, I know that my Redeemer lives, but this life stinks. And I've said that before. Amen? I have. I've said that before. The Lord Jesus Christ said we're supposed to have joy in our lips.
Amen.
And in our hearts. I like Ephesians chapter 5. It says, be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in unknown tongues and all gibberish. No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
That's what a Christian's supposed to be like.
Right.
I see some Christians, they walk around with their face so long, they put their head down, they poke a hole in their chest and bleed to death. Amen. Amen. That ain't how you're supposed to be. But you know what? The devil come along and slander you to God and get God to put you in a hot box for a while. And you know what? You know what you can find out? You're going to find out, why are you serving God? Why do you come to church? You come to church because God treats you nice, or you come to church because he died for you and because he loves you? And they're similar, but they're not the same. Say, I can treat my kids nice and not love them. There's a whole bunch of parents that do that all over this country. They give them all kind of stuff, but they don't love them. They don't love them. Let me ask you something. If God puts you on a hot track tonight because the devil slandered you to God, and he might. He might. He does it all the time. I don't understand God the way God figures out who gets elected for that kind of stuff. I don't understand that at all, but I know some people do. I know. I remember Mrs. Salter back in Pensacola, man. She was on her back for over 20 years, flat on her back. She didn't move a muscle except once in a while shake her head when they gave her banana pudding. That's Miss Solomon. And I think Merle Hunt, I don't even know if the guy's still alive or not, but just slowly perishing from some disease, multiple sclerosis or something, and can't hardly move a muscle, and yet his wife just goes on about faithfully serving God. And God puts you in a hot box to find out what you're made of. Let me ask you something. Why are you here in church this morning? Is it to see all your friends have a good time, or is it because you love the God of heaven? And it's a good question. The Bible says that the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory of God, has returned. Why are you here? You're here just because you're a Sunday school teacher? That's not a good enough reason. You're here because you got a fairly well-known, half-famous preacher? That ain't a good reason either. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to come up here and sit under Brother Miles. I expect to learn some things from him. But if you're coming here because he's here, that's the wrong reason, too. I mean, that's a part of a reason, but you're supposed to be here because God's here.
Amen.
I like what Brother Glenn was saying about that church he went to where they sang a lot of songs. Every first, I thought he was talking about my old church. I was getting nervous there, amen? And then he said about the choir coming up, and I knew that wasn't us because we ain't got no choir back there. But back there, man, we sing for 45 minutes to an hour on a Sunday night, and the roof, you just get the roof raised off, and he's right. I have a sore throat most of the time from singing. But we have a good time. People back there like to sing. You just sing and sing and sing and sing and sing until my wife can't play the piano no more. God is good. He is good. And the devil's a liar. I mean, he just flat out a liar. You know, can you recognize his voice when you hear it? Do you listen to him? You know, the devil used to say to me all the time, he said, Riley, he says, you are a wicked, wicked person. And I get, ugh. I get all bent out of shape about it. And after a while, I got to thinking, who's he telling me that?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, talking about the pot calling the kettle black. That's ridiculous.
Amen.
Who are you to be telling me I'm wicked, man? You're the most wicked thing that ever God ever let crawl around on this planet.
Yeah.
Stop listening to him. Don't listen to him. And like Brother Glenn was saying, get your nose in the Word of God. You won't have time to listen to him. But some better people than you have listened to him and fell down the side of a cliff.
Yeah.
Fell right on down. God ain't no good. He don't care about you. You haven't got a job yet. Everything's a mess. All your stuff was scattered on the countryside. Your kids are sick. God don't care about you. And then he goes to God, he says, see, I fell down your blessing. The only reason he loves you is because you treat him good. Just take your hand off him for a little bit, and he'll curse you. God says, all right, we're going to do it. Someday God's going to find out what you're made out of. Someday. Unless the rapture comes first, pray for that, amen. Luke. Luke something here. Luke chapter 4. And this is the third time the devil speaks. I mean, actually speaks. I mean, you read things about the devil, but he don't say a whole lot. He's a pretty wise fella. Amen? I got a saying somewhere that says, a wise old owl sat in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's imitate that wise old bird. Amen? In other words, keep your big mouth shut and you'll learn something. Luke chapter 4. Now, in this chapter, when the devil speaks, he goes one step further. He's getting more crazy and more insane. And in this chapter, he slanders God to God. I mean, he tells God that he's no good. How does he do that? Well, the best illustration of it in the chapter is found in verse 12. Where Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And here he's trying to get God the Son to tempt God the Father. Isn't that something? I mean, you talk about insane, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But he's in there close, buddy. I mean, he's in there close. He's trying to get God the Son divided up from God the Father. If he can do that, you know what would happen? The universe would go up in smoke. I mean, just dissolve if he could do that. So this is what he says. In verse 3, the devil said unto him after he was real hungry, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to get God the Son to try to exist without the word of his Father. Now, are you a son of God? You know what he's going to try to do, get to you to do? He's going to try to get you to live without the Father's word. And Jesus said this. He said, but by every word of God, I got to have it. That's how man lives. This was God the Son in the form of humanity speaking about his Father. Satan says you can live without him. And Jesus said, no, I can't.
Amen.
You know what the devil come to you and say? You don't need God. You're pretty smart. You got things I want to tell. You're intelligent. You have a lot of talent. He says that to people all the time. I was talking to your pastor the last time I was up here, which was sometime in the past. I don't remember what it was, but we were talking about different churches and stuff and how when a pastor leaves a church, there's always a couple turkey buzzards flying around trying to get in there and take the thing over. I'll tell you the truth, man. Somebody trying to take over a church from the inside by politics and that stuff, that person's got to be insane. He ain't got no idea what he's getting into. Some of you fellows out there that aspire for the high office of the pulpit, you know what I would say to you? I'd say try to avoid it like the plague. That's right. And if God sticks you in there, that's one thing. But while you get in by yourself, you know, you'll be like a soldier in Vietnam carrying a water pistol or something. Don't you do it. This is what the devil says. He says, you don't need God. You're pretty slick. You know, he says, do it yourself. Do it yourself. You know what that is? That's salvation by works. Do it yourself. You know what that is? That's comfort thyself. That's take comfort in your own self. That's, you don't need God. Do it yourself. You know how many millions of people are doing that? Hey, man. We're from, it's First Bible Baptist now, isn't that right? We're from the First Bible Baptist Church, and just talking to folks in the neighborhood. Wonder if I could speak to you a few minutes about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I keep the Ten Commandments. I always love them to say that, amen. Say why? Because as soon as they said that, man, I got the noose around your neck with the rope up over the banister ready to pull. Say, what do you say to them next? I says, could you name them, please? Amen. You know how many people can name the Ten Commandments? I can't even name them. That's right. I say that. I said, well, you're going to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. You can't even name them. I said, man, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. And they said, I've been baptized, or I've done this, or I've done that, and I've done everything under the sun. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the second thing that happened was the devil takes him up on a high mountain. As all this power and glory will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever will I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. This next one is this, let the devil do it. First one is you do it yourself. Second one is let the devil do it for you. That's the world's philosophy, that's humanism.
Yep.
See, that is, there is the God of this world, and he'll take care of you if you just worship him and bow down to him and serve him. There's a lot of Christians fall for that thing. They get saved, and the devil comes in and slanders God to them, and then the devil slanders them to God, and the devil comes around and says, you don't need God, and you don't need his word. You can do it yourself, or rather the devil will do it for you. And they say, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I've heard Christians say, well, I'm mad at God. Have you ever heard that? Ever heard that? I've heard them say, I'm mad at God. I don't understand that, you know. I might be a little peeved at him, but I've never been mad at him.
Amen.
I mean, you get bitter. I've seen Christians so bitter, man, just bitter, written all over his face, lines on their face, and they say, I'm mad at God. I said, what did God ever do to you? You ought to be mad at him. I mean, he gave his life for you, shed his blood, rose from the dead, poured out the Holy Spirit, give you peace in your heart and joy. Listen, if your whole life down here ended up being miserable and you went to heaven, you're better off than the guy that lived real good and went to hell, amen?
Yeah.
So what are you mad at God for? They're mad at God because Satan got in and lied to him.
Yeah.
Satan gets in and says, listen, follow me. I'll treat you better than God does. I mean, you're following God. Look at this, man. You got boiled tires on your car. You just got enough rice to make the next meal. Your boss treats you bad at work. Follow me. Do like me, and I'll treat you right. Look at how I treat them fellows down there. Look at how much money they got. Did the devil ever lie to you like that? He has me. When I first got in the ministry, in Chicago, started building that church back there, and I was working a job and trying to start the church at the same time and all that, and I thought about the long hours I put in and a little bit of money that came in, and right down the road, just a few miles, was the Chicago Board of Trade, and you had people in there making $100,000 in a day. I mean, they'd go down there, and they'd jump around and wave their hands and say, yeah, I'll vote, I'll bid on that thing, And there they go. And they don't know what to do with the money. They go down and buy Persian rugs with it and stuff, and Maseratis. And I didn't even know what a Maserati was when I got there. I thought it was some kind of a tomato, but I found out it was a car. Amen. And that's what they do. You know what they've done? They've fallen for the lie of the devil. Let me help you. Let me do it. God's not going to help you. I'll help you. Christians, don't fall for that. Because it's real easy. Real easy. Say, how does that happen? I want to get real down to earth practical for just a second. I'll finish this thing up. You know how he does that? You get into a situation in your job where somebody come up to you and say, now, if you just compromise just a little bit, look at all the money you can make. Look at all the prestige you can get. Look at all the things that I'll just cut it just a little bit. Not very much, you know, just a little. Now look at just buy one lottery ticket. See? Just one. Nobody ever know. And you might hit the jackpot. I guarantee you, buddy, you hit the jackpot, everybody's gonna know, amen. That's right. But just cut it a little short. I'll take care of you. That's what the devil says. Well, you get them things all the time coming through life. I mean, every single day. You get some little place where you just go off the track just a little bit. And you just get a little extra, and things go all right. That's the devil lying to you. The Bible says you walk that straight and narrow way. You don't take a bribe. You don't offer a bribe. You don't brown nose the boss to get your way. You just walk that straight and narrow. That's what Jesus said. You know what you're doing, my dear brother and sister in Christ? When you vary and turn away out of the way, you are in essence worshiping the devil. That's what you're doing. And Jesus said, I ain't going to do it. The Bible says thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Well, all kinds of things in the Bible keep you on the right way if you listen to them. I mean, here's a favorite one of mine. Blessed is the man that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. You get in some place where you sold a guy a car, and then later on you found out that it was worth $500 more than you asked for it. And you say, oh, man, I made a mistake. I want to charge you an extra $500. The Bible says you can't do that. You made a deal. You go sell the car for what it's worth. Or maybe you had some land and you sold and you found out there's a gold mine underneath it. And you're going to go try to get the thing in order or something. You can't do that. You say, well, you'll never get ahead in life that way. Yeah, you'll get ahead in life that way, but you won't make any points with God that way. And you get the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be like old Lot. Everything he had, everything he strived for, everything he worked for, burned down to the ground. And dear old Abraham just kind of trotted along out there in the wilderness and became the father of many nations. Last of all, verse 9, he brought him up to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of a temple, and said, and here, now here's what the devil said. I'm going to pay attention to what the devil says when he speaks. He don't speak much. And he says this, lost the place here. What verse am I in? 9, there I am. If thou be the Son of God, and of course there's no doubt that he was, because if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering, he said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So what's that one there? That one's let God do it all. Let God do it all. First one says, do it yourself. That's materialism. Second one is let the devil do it. That's humanism or Satanism. And third one is let God do it all. That's Calvinism. That's what it is. Just let God do the whole thing. You don't do nothing. And I've heard people say, well, I didn't do anything to get saved. God just came in and zapped me. Well, God didn't come in and zap you. God may have stopped you and God may have arrested you, but God didn't do anything more than that. He presented you with the gospel. Now, I'm convinced that the operation of the gospel is that he goes around and he puts his flashlight on different people. And they say, when they see Christ, they say, that's it. And they trust him. And other people, man, he shines on them and shines on them and shines on them. And they say, not for me. Not for me. I'm going to go out there and follow the devil. He's treating me pretty good. That's what God do everything. Listen, God ain't going to do everything. Amen. So how does that work out practically in your life? Well, God's going to take care of me. I don't need to work. I've met people like that. I don't need to get out there and try to do what's right. God can take care of me. Anyone know something? He will. He will, because he's God. I mean, that Bible says, if any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he's worse than an infidel, denied the faith. And you're not going to catch God getting caught by his own book. He can take care of you. But he's going to take care of you like you'd like to be taken care of. He's going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And you get the inflection there, don't you?
Yeah.
They paint your wagon red.
Yeah.
I know some people back where I come from. They don't believe in praying. They don't believe in witnessing. They just like to sit around talking about the grace of God. I call them diaper dispensationalists.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Little babies all the time, little babies. And they just say, well, we'll just sit here and let God do it all. And God ain't going to do it all. You want this church to grow, you know what you got to do? You got to sacrifice a little bit. You got to come out here and do some praying. You got to do some soul winning. You got to knock on some doors, pass out some tracts, hand out some flyers, go visit some people that haven't been here last Sunday. Call them up on the phone and say, we missed you. You take this fellow that is having trouble having a job. I forget his name. I called him up this morning. If he got a phone call from every family in this church, he'd be too ashamed not to come back. You know that? I forgot his name. What's Steve or something? Steve. He needs to be here. Him and his wife, they need to be here. If everybody in this church called him up and said, hey, man, we miss you, I guarantee you, he'd either be back out or he'd be so backslidden he couldn't show his face in public. God ain't going to do it all. If you sit here and don't do nothing, this church will wither out and die off. You know what the devil's going to say? You'll be sitting home next week and it's time to come to a prayer meeting or something. Oh, man. I don't want to go to that. Or men's, whatever it is you have on Saturday night. You know what happened last night? Bruce said, hey, Dave, they're having a men's prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. I said, where is it? And he said, way down there. And I said in my heart, not for me, buddy. I see that sofa right there.
Yeah.
And that little place I can put my feet up. And I could just picture myself in that chair with my feet up. And I said, I ain't going. And the Lord said to me, you ain't going? Boy, you're something else. After I went to the cross for you and can't go to a prayer meeting for me, I said, I'm sorry, Lord. What time do we leave? Amen. Now, I look out there and I see a whole lot of spiritual faces, but I want to tell you something. Your flesh ain't no more spiritual than mine is.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not a bit more. Your flesh would just like to sit home and take it easy and do nothing, just like mine would. And if you let it, it will. God's not going to do it for you. God may speak to you and yell at you a little bit, but if you want to sit there and be an idiot, you can sit there and be an idiot. It's all right. And nothing will get done. If you don't spend time loving your wife, you won't get loved. If you don't discipline your children, they won't get disciplined. God ain't going to do it.
Amen.
So how do you know that? Because I know a whole bunch of preachers' kids running around like wild Indians. They don't discipline them, don't take care of them. See, you've got to do something. Now look it. You can't do it all yourself. You can't let the devil do it. And you can't sit back and let God do it. You know what you got to do? You got to get a balance on that thing.
Yes.
You got to remember that you can't do anything without God.
Yes.
And that God's chosen instrument to do his work on this earth is you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you don't do it, the stones will cry out. But I haven't heard too many crying stones lately. I think he wants us to do it. Amen.
Yeah.
I think he wants us to do it. Well, I recommend you go back and read them passages. Devil speaks three times in the Bible. And if you have to deal with him, you ought to know what kind of stuff he's up to. Because he's at it 24 hours a day. He don't sleep. And he'd like to see one by one take families out of this church, take them out, shelve them, put them aside, get them bitter, get them mad, get them angry, do something to bust this thing up. And let me tell you something. He's been plenty successful in a whole lot of churches. Plenty successful. Let's bow our heads.